W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A spacecraft made in Texas makes the first U.S. lunar landing in more than 50 years.
The lunar lander Odysseus, nicknamed Odie, built by Houston-based Intuitive Machines, blasting off a week ago on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, traveling a quarter of a million miles to the moon. Odie carrying instruments that will gather information about the lunar surface ahead of NASA's Artemis mission to the moon in 2026 with humans on board.
ABC's Gio Benitez. The U.S. tomorrow will impose more than 500 sanctions on Russia as the invasion of Ukraine nears the two-year mark. A former FBI informant charged with lying about a bribery scheme involving President Biden's family is back in custody. Four foreign nationals are charged with transporting Iranian-made weapons on a vessel that was intercepted by the U.S. Navy last month in the Arabian Sea. Two SEALs died trying to board the ship. This is ABC News. One automaker is putting the brakes on its electric vehicle plans.
Mercedes had set itself a target of going all electric by 2030. But in the company's latest earnings statement, it now says it expects only half of the vehicles it sells to be electrified by that time. And that includes both hybrids and fully electric vehicles. Sales of EVs have stagnated in recent months, declining between December 2023 and January 2024 by 14%, according to the market research firm Rho Motion. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Britain's government is withdrawing from a controversial international energy treaty. France, Germany, and other European Union countries have also quit the Energy Charter Treaty, which was enacted in 1998 to encourage international flows of investment. UK officials say attempts to update the deal to support clean technology has led to an impasse. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Cudigy, all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm still here in the great state of Wisconsin here in Black River Falls. Just got done doing the state of the tribes in Madison, Wisconsin, and now heading back. But I just want to say a big peeny geegee to McDonald's and their Wi-Fi doing the radio show on the road, Haley.
Ooh, that sounds really fun. Well, I just want to remind everyone that this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, here in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, we got Robert Lilligren coming on in just a minute here, but first we always enjoy and appreciate the governor of Wisconsin giving us an update. So why don't we take a quick listen?
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Earlier this week, I enacted fair legislative maps for the state of Wisconsin. This is an historic moment for our state and for everybody who calls Wisconsin home. Because for more than a decade now, Wisconsinites have lived under some of the most undemocratic gerrymandered legislative maps in America. When I ran for this office in 2018, I promised I'd never stop working to right that wrong, to fight for an independent, nonpartisan redistricting process, to secure fair maps for Wisconsin, and to have the courage to do what is right. To me, the decision to enact these maps boiled down to this. I made a promise to the people of Wisconsin that I would always try to do the right thing. My maps that I signed are fair, responsive, and reflect the will of the people. And this is so important, Wisconsin, so I want to explain what that means. First, these maps are fair. We're aiming to make sure each party has a fair shake at winning the legislature. Under these maps, it's more likely that each party will win a majority of the legislative seats when they earn a majority of your votes. That's common sense. Second, these maps are responsive. Under these maps, we'll see more competitive contested races by making it more likely that legislative districts will flip from one party's control to another when the voters' preferences change. Every vote matters, and that's a good thing for democracy. Finally, these maps reflect the will of the people. Under these maps, the people will be able to elect Republican majorities, Democratic majorities, or even a split legislature if they want. But the most important part is Wisconsinites decide. That's how elections should work. Folks, Wisconsin is not a red state or a blue state. We're a purple state. And I believe our map should reflect that basic fact. And now they do. This is a victory not for me or any political party, but for our state and for the people of Wisconsin. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Hey, let's bring in Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. Wow. Just your comments on that. That's a huge deal here.
Yeah, it is a huge deal. Finally, right? There's going to be some fair redistricting maps in Wisconsin. And to Governor Evers' credit, he didn't really stilt them one way or the other. And I think that he had Republican support for the maps that he proposed, because had they not been approved by the legislature, then the Supreme Court would have had the authority to draw the new maps. And I don't think the Republicans in Wisconsin wanted the newly liberal majority Supreme Court drawing their maps.
I think that's a really good point, Robert. I think that that was the whole idea behind him doing this, is not to put the new Supreme Court member on the hot seat, because she's been on the hot seat since she was elected.
Yeah, she has. And, you know, my sense is, I don't know her, I've never met her or anything, but that she welcomes that, right? She knows what she's doing on that court, and she knows whatever she does, she's going to draw fire. I just think this, you know, the Governor Evers' point about creating fair maps that will reflect the will of the voters, and please don't quote me on this because I'm just making this number up, but it's something like, you know, like Governor Evers said, they're a purple state. They're like 50-50, just about. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, 75% of their federal delegates, their federal representatives, are Republican. So clearly that's not really the will of the voters in Wisconsin.
Now, maybe you can help me with this, but I remember us talking about it, especially when Ho-Chunk citizen Trisha Zunker was running. She had to win, and maybe you can help explain this to me. She had to win like 65% of the vote in order to win, because it was so gerrymandered. How is that? And do I have those numbers off?
You know, I don't. Haley looks like she might know something about that race. I don't really know much about that race. But my guess is that if you go down into those numbers, it starts to reflect partisanship, right? So she needed to win so much more of her party's vote to prevail in the race. But I don't know much about that race, Robert. My apologies.
Yeah. Sorry to put you on the spot. I know that's right. You know a lot, so hey. But yeah, but this is just fairness, and really appreciate that. We got a heads up at my job that this was happening, and wanted the support of the tribes across Wisconsin. And I just am really excited that we're inching towards something different and maybe better for Wisconsin, especially with the big election coming up.
Right. Better for Wisconsin and better for the whole country, right? When majority control of both houses in D.C. are sort of up for grabs or razor thin, both in the Senate and in the House. And, you know, things like this, more fair redistricting maps, sets a more level table, right? And we shall see. I think this is going to be a very interesting election cycle. I think that, you know, it's hard to think of Congress as a down ballot race, but it's not the top of the ticket, right? But I think these more down ballot races, both at the federal and state levels, are really going to decide sort of what happens at the top of the ticket.
Exactly. And I think what we do here at Native Roots Radio, too, is really try to calm people, because it seems like national news really is putting out the panic button. But if we stay on top of our game, not get disappointed listening to things, we just have to move forward because we outnumber them.
Right, right. So Trump won the presidency with a minority vote. Secretary Clinton beat him numerically. He was a minority vote getter in the election against Biden, and I suspect he'll be a minority vote getter in this year. So we'll have to see how the Electoral College map plays out. Mm-hmm. But there were some real gifts that were kind of the legacy, gifts to progressives, that were the legacy of Trump's presidency, and one of them is stacking the Supreme Court, which led to the Dobbs decision, which is still motivating not just progressive voters, but centrist women voters. And you look at some of the activities since the Dobbs decision, and I'm sorry, I should be more prepared, but is it Alabama? What state Supreme Court? Was it Alabama, Arkansas? It just ruled that a frozen embryo is a child.
That was mm-hmm. Alabama, right?
Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that just shows, again, it was a Supreme Court that no longer dispenses justice for a majority of this country. And their unjust decisions are motivating voters on the left.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we're talking our little weekly politics. Looks like Robert's got his suit coat on. He's going to go out and do some campaigning.
No, I just came from a fancy schmancy downtown event. So.
All right. You got to invite me some. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their Currents Gallery exhibit, Okeezy, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Wow, Haley, you do a great job reading those. That's awesome. And I know we're excited. We both have gone to this event, and it's out there, and it's beautiful and a great representation of both cultures that really look like they're very similar, like we always talk about here, Robert.
Yeah, one of the Swedish artists that's partnering on this exhibition is Sami, and the story of the Samis is very parallel to the stories of indigenous people here on Turtle Island, and especially the Plains Indians. And the Samis were forced to assimilate, the genocide committed against them, and they were controlled by the governor, by the government, by the state, by controlling their food supply, the caribou. And so much like the buffalo being eliminated to commit genocide on Plains Indians, the Scandinavian governments eliminated the caribou. And so, yeah, there's so many similarities. It's interesting. The show, To Heal, is really just generated so much interest. We have groups coming through the gallery, and there's all kinds of public discourse between NACDI and All My Relations Arts and the American Swedish Institute. And NACDI staff, All My Relations Arts staff, is planning the closing of the show for April 13th. And they're really putting together an incredible panel of people. And we're trying to import some of the artists, Native artists from this country, that are exhibiting to be part of the closing artist talks and things.
Wow, that's awesome. And I feel like we're really partners with you guys, and we really appreciate stopping in, sitting down, sitting behind your desk and taking a t-shirt and things like that. Yeah.
So Ms. Robert's talking about, so folks don't, you know, our office is right on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin, just off Powwow Grounds, an incredible coffee shop that's a huge community hub, and then our gallery is right there as well. And it really is a community sort of center. You know, I always say that our organization, NACDI, is very permeable to the community. We need to be, to do our work. And so we just have community coming through. I was sitting close to the door today in the office, so I was answering the door every time people knocked every few minutes.
I'm usually the one knocking. That's why.
Right. I thought it might be you.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Well, Robert, you know, we only got a short time here, and I know I like to talk a little politics with you. First off, I know you and I haven't talked about this, but the two police officers and the medic, our prayers are out to them, and it's just very sad.
And so folks who aren't from this area, and one of the big suburbs of the Twin Cities, Burnsville, there were two police officers and a paramedic, a firefighter, who were shot dead this last week. And so you're right, prayers to the families, to their communities. And they were answering a domestic violence call that just went way wrong. And so it's very sad. The shooter is dead as well, by an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. So that kind of stuff just rattles a community, and as it should. So very sad.
Right. Yeah. And we talk about, you know, the police a lot here and during the George Floyd, but we know that 99% of the police officers are good. And so there is no black and white. We are really sending prayers out, Robert.
Here. And, you know, here in our community, you know, we have our issues with the police and our history with the police. And we realize that they're partners in helping to keep our relatives safe. And, you know, one of the things that really caught my attention was on February 14th, we had our MMIW and our rally in March here. It was huge. I think I saw both of you there, didn't I? Or I saw you, Katie. Yeah, and so I'm clocking it at least 1,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, to do a march that size in Minneapolis, you have to have police, a certain amount of police to block off the streets and things. And so we had law enforcement from many jurisdictions, our county sheriff, our city police, our metropolitan transit police, and many of them volunteered their time for the event. So they didn't cost the organizers, you know, off-duty police fees and stuff like that. And now, that kind of stuff goes a long way to building, I think.
Well, and again, we have our relatives, natives that are police officers, too. And we're not
you too
know,
many.
Right. But there's a good point. But there's a few, you know, and we want to throw them under the bus because all we support them.
Yep. In Minneapolis, we have 3 Native officers. Now we're down to 3.
Okay.
So we have had more, and the 3 that we have are great for the community, and we support them for sure. But 3 isn't a lot. And, you know, I got kind of mouthy at a community meeting recently, a safety community meeting, because the system, the police recruiters and things are asking how to recruit more Native officers, you know, and then we had one of our Native officers, Officer Cheryl Goodman. She used to be Sergeant Cheryl Goodman. She took a demotion so she could be working right in the Native community. And she and her partner used to run a police activities league with this cadre of about 15 to 20 young Native women and girls. And they did amazing things with these young women. And, you know, they would get them in front of groups to talk. They would travel with them. They would coach them in athletics. They would teach them some very fundamental social soft skills. I mean, it was really incredible. And Officer Goodman and her partner use their own resources to do this quite a bit. And then when it's time to cut police budgets, and there's this kind of prevailing wisdom that all money needs to be directed to hiring and paying officers. And so programs like this Police Activities League that was building these relationships and trust and could result in recruiting some of these young women to be police officers, those are the first things that get cut. And so, and that's across the board. It's those, you need to be building those relationships over years. And I got kind of mouthy in the public discourse and started dropping a few F-bombs, which I'm not proud of. But I said, I am so tired of having this effing conversation every effing year when all you do is cut the relationship building programs year after year. If you truly want to recruit from the Native community, you're going to need to do one-on-one relationship and trust building and investing in that.
Great point. And his name's Jack. Jack is her partner's name.
No, it was a woman. It was a woman at the time.
Oh,
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. This is a few years back. They cut the program a few years ago. It was when I was at Little Earth.
Okay.
And they were working at Little Earth United Tribes, and they were I'm trying to think of her partner's name, I can view her, but Cheryl Goodman and her partner were so active there.
I gotta jump in, and I remember what you're saying right now. I've seen proof of, I know a school that I used to teach at, to make a long story short, they started a tennis summer program, and then 10 years later, for the next 5 years, they won the city in tennis. I mean, those are the kind of things that you have to do. Mm-hmm.
That is exactly, and you're not gonna, you know, one of the suggestions at this community meeting that I started dropping the F-bombs at, one of the non-Native people who's interested in recruiting more Native officers said, you know, maybe we should involve the elders. Would elders talking to these younger people be helpful? And I said, the elders are going to trust the police less than the younger people do. They're like, no, it's your responsibility to build those relationships, you know.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, invest it. Put the money on the table to invest in building those relationships.
Exactly. Great point. We got a couple minutes left, and Wendy just checked in and said she's watching from New York.
I saw that.
I want to always honor her, and she always would, across the table, say, ask Robert what he wants to talk about. So you got 2 minutes.
Okay. That is so much. And I had a whole list of things. But the one thing I really want to lift up, and it's just, it's kind of all-consuming for me right now. And, you know, here in our community, we're always trying to figure out how to best support our relatives who are living outside, living unsheltered, and also experiencing opioid use. And in our community, we have a leadership forum called Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. It's an over 50-year continuously meeting leadership forum. And through Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, or the acronym MUID or MUD, we have a subcommittee that's been focusing on finding short-term, mid-term, and long-term solutions at the intersection of unsheltered homelessness and opioid use. And the fact that we work on both of these issues together makes it harder, right? More difficult. And we have reaffirmed through the community through the years, the now 5 years we've been meeting, that we have to connect those. That's our experience in the community. They are connected issues. And so so after several years of this work and 18 months of intensive consultant-driven work, Dr. Nick Metcalf, a native PhD in our environment, we are about to publish our report with recommendations. And so we've been previewing it through the resource holders, the policymakers, and others. And now we're planning for a whole communications tour, sort of speakers tour, building capacity in the community for people to present to policymakers and other resource holders. And I'm just thrilled. I've wanted to be at this point for 5 years, and so more to come.
Congratulations, Robert, and thank you so much for being on. Keep us posted on that. And Haley, what do we got next?
We have some great speeches from the speakers from the 2024 Wisconsin State of Tribes Address.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A spacecraft made in Texas makes the first U.S. lunar landing in more than 50 years.
The lunar lander Odysseus, nicknamed Odie, built by Houston-based Intuitive Machines, blasting off a week ago on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, traveling a quarter of a million miles to the moon. Odie carrying instruments that will gather information about the lunar surface ahead of NASA's Artemis mission to the moon in 2026 with humans on board.
ABC's Gio Benitez. The U.S. tomorrow will impose more than 500 sanctions on Russia as the invasion of Ukraine nears the two-year mark. A former FBI informant charged with lying about a bribery scheme involving President Biden's family is back in custody. Four foreign nationals are charged with transporting Iranian-made weapons on a vessel that was intercepted by the U.S. Navy last month in the Arabian Sea. Two SEALs died trying to board the ship. This is ABC News.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Thursday was the last day at work for the Wisconsin legislature. A busy assembly floor session included a constitutional amendment that keeps houses of worship open during public health emergencies. Several other bills up for votes are part of the deal Republicans struck with universities of Wisconsin officials, including money for new building projects. Those bills ultimately passed. The Department of Education is offering breaks on student loans. Cora Hume is with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She says borrowers with non-federally held loans need to consolidate them into direct consolidation loans by the end of April.
Older borrowers are less likely to hold direct loans, which would already benefit from this pay count adjustment. And then those that do own direct loans, they're less likely to participate in this IDR program that caps their monthly payments.
Hume says the savings have the potential to change lives. I'm Nate Wiggehout Hout, Civic Media News.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky and a low near 30. For tomorrow, some clouds around, maybe a sprinkle or flurry in the afternoon, a high around 40 degrees. A mix of sun and clouds and in the upper 30s on Saturday, warming to the low 50s with sunshine Sunday. Right now it's 48.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded, but only 60 have been.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and you can learn more about that organization and all of the great work that they do in our state at miwsac.org. Hey, producer Haley Jerry with you now, descendants of Ho-Chunk Nation and the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. We are going to be playing some of the speeches that occurred today at the 20th State of the Tribes Address in the great city of Madison, Wisconsin. We have an opening prayer from an elder and then Chairman James A. Crawford of the Forest County Potawatomi community member giving this year's address. Let's take a listen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Eugene Shano Sr., and I'm a member of the Forest County Potawatomi Tribe, located in Crandon, Wisconsin. And my executive council asked me to come say the prayer today, which is a huge task for me in my lifetime. But I got my tobacco. This is where I get my strength. I always use this when I talk to my creator. And today, I'm sure going to need it. And I want to let you know that if I hurt anyone's feelings, it's not intentional. So forgive me for that, and I'll apologize for that now. But I want to say a prayer in my native tongue because I feel personally that he's here listening to me when I do say the prayer. Uh-huh. Shaman the door. Jimmy Gwatsui Nikit Oda Kwagagig Doyan. Kin Nam Tanog the Tuno to have no Zwebsia. Niguan Juiza Minasquan. What a keybears Websik and the snobby go. Panaja, McQuinn Mono Oda, Evisiske go. He's in Gom, so that Mubiayan is a Gavi, Exumnan, the one of Wabduk, Goda, Lishnabe, Kavi, no month to want. What is the case? It's a Niguan, Jiguan, of the exquisites came in order, a Kenwa, Gnitz, Oda, Isagani, the Novage of Mazian Gom. but does not give you what I've done or the wish conquered. But the way is not. I just want to explain my prayer to you today, and that when I clasped my hand to the left, that was from way before my time, the struggles that our natives have come through. Without holding each other's hand tightly where nobody could break it up, and then we chose our leaders to talk for us. And so we succeeded until we got here today. And at that, now we will know what Indian time means. It means that we'll go whatever speed we need to get to our goals, and that we do it together. No one gets left behind. And in the future, we still gotta clasp our hands, holding it together, and still do the same and continue success, and that our Creator will watch what we're doing here today, and each tribal leaders here can take this home, and I hope you, it does have some value to you too. But my council especially, I'm very proud of them. There's three women, three young ladies on that council, and three young men. So it's equally, and we have the mothers on the executive council to have that bonding with their children, which is the tribal membership. And so in our Mother Earth, we have to take care of her. She's getting weak, but she never gives up. She keeps on feeding us, the animals, everything. We owe so much to her. And that our Creator, I ask that He help her along to accomplish this, because we're the one that are abusing her and creating this illnesses that we're getting, the COVID, cancer, tuberculosis, and we know it's going to continue finding new diseases because we're not helping our mom stay clean to keep providing for us. As all you mothers know, you will never give up your children, and so she'll never give up either, no matter how much we abuse her. So I just want to let the public know that we're all the Mother Earth's children, and so we all got to pay attention. You don't know what you quick all get on. Shemdo, me God swear, wouldn't go me to ya. Chena gumge. Thank you very much.
In keeping with the long tradition of the legislature, we have invited James Crawford, the chairman of the Forest County Potawatomi, who will give today's tribal address. We would invite him to the podium.
Thank you. Ahau, bonjour, Natinawe, Magaduk, Bamabmi, Indishnakas, Gindo and Dodam, Bodwe Wadmi, Ishnabe and Dao, Nui, Bigaji, Wina, Chamokaman, Moen. Hello, all my relatives. My name is Bamabmi, which means Thunderbird that watches over and protects us. I am Eagle Clan. I am a Potawatomi Indian. I wanted to speak to you a little bit in my language today, but now I will speak to you in English. First of all, I want to say thank you to my wife, Jennifer, my daughters, Peyton, Mary Jane, Sierra, and my son, Dylan, that are here today with me. Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is James Crawford, and I am the chairman of the Forest County Potawatomi community. It's an honor and a privilege to be speaking before you today, and I stand here with the utmost respect and gratitude for your invitation. Thank you, Governor Evers, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, Majority Speaker Voss, Majority Leader Limahue, Senate Minority Leader Hesselbein, Assembly Minority Leader Neubauer, members of the State Senate, members of the State Assembly, constitutional officers, cabinet secretaries, justices of the Supreme Court, esteemed elders, veterans, fellow tribal leaders, and other honored guests for being here today. We are extremely fortunate to have this forum every year to bring attention to Wisconsin Indian Country and give you insights on issues currently impacting the people of the 11 tribal nations in this great state. It is my hope that today's address will bring a desire to further celebrate and strengthen a cooperative relationship between the state of Wisconsin and the tribal nations. This address has been going on now for 20 years. I want to say thank you, or Chi Miigwech in our language, to all our Wisconsin state leaders for your continued support. Opportunities like this to give you a better understanding of tribal people and cultures is appreciated by all of us, so Miigwech. I'm also very humbled to be asked by my fellow tribal leaders to stand here and represent Wisconsin's tribal nations at this year's State of the Tribe Address. I'd like to recognize my fellow tribal leaders that are here today. Please stand when your name is mentioned. Among us, we have Chairman Robert Blanchard from the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. President John Johnson Sr., Lac du Flambeau, Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Chairman Tahasi Hill, Oneida Nation. President John Green Deer, Ho-Chunk Nation. Chairwoman Nicole Boyd, Red Cliff, Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. President Shannon Hosley, Stockbridge Muncie Community. Vice Chairman Tweed Schumann, Lakutere, Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa Indians. Chairwoman Gina Kakak, Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. Chairman Thomas Fowler, St. Croix, Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin. Councilman Leland Van Zyl, Sakagan Chippewa Community. Also present today is Chairman Jim Williams, Lac Vieux des Airs Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians in Michigan.
All right, we'll be right back after this quick break with more of this speech from the Wisconsin 2024 State of the Tribes Address. You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
This Welcome portion of the show is Native supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for Robert future Pilot. Generations. How? All right, we're going to get right back into the speech from the 2024 State of the Tribes address that happened this morning out in Madison, Wisconsin. Let's take a listen.
I want to use my time with you today to emphasize some of the ideas that tribal nations hold closely, provide you with a little history, and celebrate and remind you of the accomplishments you've achieved with Wisconsin's tribes. Hopefully, this will help set the stage for new and better ways we can continue to collaborate to achieve our common goals. The recognition of tribal sovereignty is one of the most important tenets of Native peoples. Tribes have been governing how their own people live, act, and rule for countless generations. And each tribe in Wisconsin is its own sovereign nation and has its own distinct challenges and opportunities. Tribal sovereignty is not something we have been granted, but is something we have always inherently held. This inherent sovereignty is what tribes continuously work to preserve, protect, and enhance for our future generations. Each tribe in Wisconsin also has its own unique history. We all have our own stories and traditions that have helped shape our cultures and guide who we are today. For the Potawatomi, the remembrance of our ancestors and the ties to our treaty lands is especially important. While the Forest County Potawatomi today have reservation lands in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, that is not our treaty land. Like the other tribes in Wisconsin, the Potawatomi were forced off their lands. The Potawatomi's home in Wisconsin stretched south from Potawatomi Lighthouse and the Potawatomi State Park in Door County, along Lake Michigan through Milwaukee, and just west to Walworth County near Bigfoot Beach State Park, which is named after Potawatomi Chief Bigfoot. And our deep ties to those areas can still be seen today. Cities like Kenosha, Muskego, Waukesha, Sheboygan, and Manitowoc are all derived from the Potawatomi language. So when the Potawatomi talk about our home, that is what we mean. Even though each tribe in Wisconsin is unique with their own histories, cultures, and distinct challenges and opportunities, the tribes still share many commonalities, especially the desire and willingness to come together and to work for the greater good. And that's what I want to stress with all of you today. Despite our differences, Wisconsin's tribes and our state leaders can and must continue to collaborate and work together for the greater good. I have been fortunate to serve as the elected leader of the Potawatomi for the last year. Before serving as chairman, I spent more than 10 years in various roles as an elected tribal leader on our executive council. And before that, I served my tribe in various capacities, including serving as board chairman of the Potawatomi Business Development Corporation. I have spent my adult life serving my tribe because I want to help my people, and my tribe needs people who want to help. But my work serving my tribe is only one part of who I am. I'm also a husband, a father, and a grandfather. My wife, Jennifer, and I have been married for 29 years. We have seven beautiful children, and we have been blessed with three grandchildren, with one more on the way. I tell you this about me to remind you that each of us has had a different life experiences that shape and guide who we are. And because of that, we all bring a unique perspective to the situations around us. It's important that we gain perspective from those around us. That is why it is so important that all of you in this room reach out to those around you, including Wisconsin's tribes, to gain new perspectives on the issues you are charged with tackling. The perspectives brought by Wisconsin tribes and collaboration with the state have accomplished positive things for all of us. For example, healthcare. Healthcare is one of the most important and costly services that tribal governments provide to both their people and the greater community. And because of tribal health centers, and because tribal health centers serve large populations that are Medicaid eligible, their continued operation is essential. Unfortunately, delays in reimbursements by the federal government and the complexities in reporting have left tribal health facilities with unnecessary financial strains. In some cases, tribal health centers were waiting years to be reimbursed for services. But luckily, there was a path to address these issues. Wisconsin's tribal federally qualified health centers were eligible to adopt an all-inclusive rate for their payment method. This rate typically results in greater overall federal reimbursement, more timely payment for claims, and simplified reporting, all of which will help alleviate current fiscal challenges and allow tribal health facilities to provide the best care possible to their communities. Chemigwich, Governor Evers, for the efforts by your Department of Health Services to identify this critical issue and find a way to bring much needed additional health care funding to Wisconsin's tribal nations. And Chemigwich, to JFC co-chairs, Senator Howard Markline and Representative Mark Bourne, and the members of the Joint Committee on Finance, for their recognition of this issue and their approval of this extremely beneficial change. Each tribe in Wisconsin will see a positive benefit from this change. And because of this change, Wisconsin's tribes will see a more than $60 million increase in their federal Medicaid reimbursements. That is likely the most significant financial gain for Wisconsin tribes since the advent of tribal gaming in this state. Ensuring that people have access to healthy food options is important for everyone. Getting a well-balanced diet of fruits, vegetables, and a variety of proteins is essential for good health and nutrition. However, getting access to that food can be difficult for some communities, especially in the rural areas of our state. And for natives, ensuring that we have access to traditional indigenous foods is critical. That is why the Tribal Elder Food Box Program has been so important. This program ensures that tribal elders can have regular access to traditional indigenous foods that are sourced from native and local producers. On a regular basis, tribal elders receive foods like bison, fish, corn, squash, wild rice, white corn flour, and many other items that are central to indigenous diets. And it's been a tremendous success. Elders in all 11 tribes are now able to receive these important food items because of this program. And that's in part because of you. Thank you, Governor Evers, Representative Tony Kurtz, and members of the legislature for providing $3 million from gaming funds in the state budget to ensure this program can continue. The funding you provided in the state budget meant that tribal elders continued to have access to well-balanced, healthy, indigenous foods. And it ensured that local producers, both tribal and non-tribal, were able to continue to provide and sell the thousands of pounds of goods needed for these boxes every month. That is a win for both the health and economic vitality of Wisconsin's tribal people and our agricultural producers around the state. And we look forward to working with you again in the next state's budget to ensure that this can continue.
All right. I'm Haley Cherry. You have been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. If you'd like to hear more of this speech, you can head on over to pbswisconsin.org. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black history stories.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The leader of the Forest County Potawatomi is calling on Wisconsin lawmakers and other state leaders to find bipartisan solutions to problems like human trafficking and affordable housing. James Crawford gave Thursday's annual State of the Tribe speech. He also thanked lawmakers for working to increase Medicaid reimbursements for tribes and legislation to boost affordable housing. Wisconsin farmers boosted conservation efforts between 2017 and 2022. That's according to the latest USDA agriculture census.
In so many ways, it is about access to programs within USDA or information, making sure that we can use all of those avenues to drive adoption in the way that we know there is demand for.
Mike Lavender is with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Matt Nair on air.
I want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of a working class, Rick Smith.